Yahweh bless you. Before you seat yourself, turn to your neighbor and just say to them, Yahweh bless you. Come on. Yahweh bless you. Turn to someone else and say, Yahweh bless you. Yahweh bless you. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. What a wonderful hour to be living in, to secure the blessings of Yahweh. What is that blessing? It is the knowledge and understanding to know the fullness of our Father and His full power. And Messiah was the fullness of the power of Almighty Yahweh upon the face of the earth. And so it is a marvelous time to be in. It's a marvelous time to hold fast the truths of Almighty Yahweh. For there are many deceivers that have gone out into the world, and they're deceiving many. And they're drawing them away from this tremendous hope to a hope that is not alive. There's only one hope. And Messiah gave us that hope. That is the only avenue and the plan to the Creator. There are all kinds of plans to gods and spiritual beings. But there is only one plan to the Father. We can never reach Him or His throne any other way but by the revealed truth of Messiah. And if we try to accomplish that any other way, then we are thieves. We are robbers. And that is what religion is trying to do today, to approach Him in every way but coming through the door. And this is a very narrow door. So you take all of your clothing and strip yourselves, that you may be naked before Him. And that is to say unto the Father, there is nothing that I can hide from you, because you know everything there is to know about me. And in order for you to enter into this door, there are no excess baggages or anything. You must come in at the door. And Messiah is the great inspector. Nothing. Not one sin. Not one corrupt thing gets past Him. Because He is the measuring stick of Yahweh. We must come up to that measurement that He gave us in Messiah. And for some reason we think, or the world has taught us, that we don't have to measure up to what He was. But we must. He has not given us a yoke or a burden that is that difficult, that is that hard to master or to understand and to fulfill that responsibility faithfully. He has not given us that at all. What we have done in our own natural carnal minds, because it despises the righteous laws of Yahweh. The natural mind resists any kind of law there is. And we know that in our daily activities. If we are on the highway, it says 60. We are certain that we can do 70. Because we feel within ourselves that's the limitation or the threshold of getting a ticket. Well, the law says anything over 60, truly, you get a ticket. So what we have done, we have built this cushion. And we actually think it's right to do things that is literally wrong to do them. For man knows what is righteous and good to do. And if he doesn't do it, then it is a sin, or there is a snare in the man's heart. And there are other things that he is capable of doing. And so what Messiah came to do is to eradicate us, or to tear down every stronghold of power that takes strength or establish some kind of authority in us against the principles of Almighty Yahweh. There's a scripture that I want to read, and I want to know this person here, if I may use this expression as calling him a person. Because in the midst of knowing him, you know his likes and his dislikes. And what I want to speak on today is one of his dislikes. The thing that he abhorred or he hates. He despises it with a pure intensity. And he despises it. And I want to talk about that one thing that Yahweh despises or he hates. But I want to know this one that says that he hates certain things, I certainly want to know him. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Solomon declares that he had neither learned wisdom, nor does he possess the knowledge of the holy. He does not understand the intricates and the power of this mighty one that gave him a charge to build a house that his name may abide in that house forever. And he was drawn from that pure desire by pagan practices, by going beyond the call of Yahweh, when he told him not to take upon himself certain type of wives, because they would draw him into a pagan form of worship. And he said, do not become a partaker, do not receive them as your wives, but do what I tell you to do, and in the midst of that, you will see the mighty, powerful hand of Yahweh rest upon you. And so Solomon, in his crying, he asked this question in Proverbs 30 and 4. He asked us, who hath ascended into the heavens? Is there anyone amongst us that hath gone into the heavens or ascended beyond the natural realm of the cosmic heavens? You have flown in an airplane, but you really haven't gotten to the heavens. He said, who hath ascended into the heavens? Or who hath descended beneath the earth? Who has gone down into the shallows of hell? Who has? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who is able to gather the wind in his fist? Are you able to stand outside on a windy day and literally gather any form of wind in your fist? It's a profound question of wisdom. Can you literally gather wind in your fist? But there is one that has taken his hand and literally gathered the winds in his fist. He has held back the east winds, the west, the north, and the south winds until his seed is sealed by his spirit, that they may rest in the assurance of that great seal, and that is the Father's name written in their foreheads. I want to know the one that wants to write his name in my forehead. And the forehead represents the power or the pinnacle of authority in a man's life. Everything resonates from the brain. Life. It is the central function of life. It causes the heart to regulate. You don't have to think how to breathe because everything is in the central command. Everything. Our reaction, our actions, they all come from the central command. So who is able to gather the wind in their fist? The next time we have a windy day, try to gather just a small amount of wind in your fist. And if you accomplish that, please let me know how you did that. I would certainly like to know, because you probably have ascended up into the heavens or the throne of Yahweh. And you have gone beneath the earth and you understand the great things that Yahweh hath prepared. He says, who hath bound waters in a garment? Can any of you today bind any water in any garment? You sisters, can you take, as the old mothers would say, your frocks and lift it up and bind water in your garment? Can you do that? You brothers, can you take your arms and fold them together and bind any water in your garments? Who has done that? Who has been able through the history of time that has been able to bind water in their garments? I know it seems like a trivial thing, but it's not trivial. What Yahweh shows here is his magnificent power. It extends upon, surpass natural laws. And a natural law says that no man can take wind and put it in his fist and hold it. You can't do it. No more than a garment you could actually take and put water and bind the waters in your garment. Who hath established the ends of the earth? He has established the ends. Do you understand that? The ends of the earth or the dismantling of all things are already established. It's not that they must be established. And so if it is established, then there's a foundation there for an end. There's a structure for the end. Now, who hath established the ends of the earth? If you go from one part of the earth in the natural sense to the earth other end, who built that? Was it America's Vespucius? Was it Christopher Columbus? Was it the Roman Empire or the Babylonian establishment? Who built the earth? What man established the great ranges of the Rocky Mountains? What man carved the great river of the Nile River? What man with his massive earth-moving equipment cut the course of the Mississippi, the great Mississippi River? What man in all his imaginative skills and abilities went down into the earth, into the core of these massive rocks, and he carved out this thing we know as the Grand Canyon? And the colors are so spectacular and so magnificent that even the natural spectrums of a man's mind cannot comprehend the beauty of it. That is why they travel from other parts of the world in awe of these great magnificent things. Of course, they built the great walls of China, but they did not establish the foundations of the earth. How did you establish the foundations of the earth? What is your cornerstone? What stone do you lay to establish the massiveness of this great earth? What is it? It seems to me the one that has done that, he must be a mighty, magnificent one. I would love to know his character. I want to know about him. I want to know the specifics about him, not something in some generic term, but I want to know the specifics of the one that has done that. Literally can grasp the wind in his fist and the waters in his garment. He has established the foundations of the earth until the end. I want to know him. And the cry from the bosom of Solomon was this: what is his name? Is it David Roberts? Can't be. Is it Rodney Lee Smith? Not so. Is it Yosef Sigit? No, it can't be. Who is he? What is that one's name that has done that? If he has done that, he is mighty and great. I want to know what he charged me to do. And the things that caused displeasure to his heart, he said, what is his name? And what is his son's name? And he prefaced that, if thou can tell me, do you know? Do you truly know him? And do you know his son's name? What a profound question, isn't it? What a direct question. What a question to ponder. What is his name? And tell me his son's name. He tells us in the next verse that every word of Yahweh is pure. Every word is pure. His name is a word as well. So it is pure. Every word of Yahweh is pure. He is a shield. Only a shield. Do you understand that? He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He is a shield only to those that put their confidence and their trust in him. That they truly have faith to believe him. That they trust him beyond the natural ramifications of things, that they see beyond the law of the flesh and the natural. He only puts his seal around those that trust him. And when a man truly trusts the Father, he will not venture into things that his flesh will draw him away from every word of Yahweh, which is pure. Every word is pure, not some. And Messiah declared that we must not or cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. And if this is the character of this one, then I want to understand what his mandate is. And the things that cause his anger to be aroused. That he pours out vengeance and death upon his subjects that he has made. If he established the earth or the foundations unto the end, so hath he established the subjects to bless him, to be enthralled by him, to exalt him, to worship him in a pure spirit. He wants that. And that's why there are things that he totally hates. He despises it. There are things that he literally detests. He abhorreth. It is a stench in his nostril. There are certain things that are abominable unto him. I want to deal with one specific that he always says, I truly hate. Scripture says in Psalms chapter 5 and verse 1. David declared, give ear to my words, O Yahweh, consider my meditation. He said, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my Father. For unto thee will I pray. I will literally cry out unto you. He said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Yahweh. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto you, and I will look up. He said, for you are not a father that hath pleasure in wickedness. That he takes no pleasure in any form of wickedness. When one takes pleasure, there is a pleasing thing to that one. The heart is satisfied. Those things promote a strength in the one that takes pleasure. If you have a slice of apple pie and you take great delight or pleasure in that, it does something to the natural man. And not only to that, but it causes an appreciativeness in the spirit. When I had that bread yesterday, and that deer, I said to my wife, I said, this is righteous. Of course, I understand the expression, how I meant that, this is so good. I simply use the expression, this is righteous. And her reply to me, well, there were righteous sisters that cooked that. I say, that's true, but this is good. I like this. So I inquired of her, do we have any more? We have a little bit, but probably it will not be there tomorrow. Find me some, because I want some more of that. That is, as David expressed unto Yahweh, feed me, until I want no more. Until my desire is satisfied. Our desire will never be satisfied until we literally look upon him and see him face to face. And that is the excellence of this hour that we must strive for. To see him. To behold his beauty and the magnificent power that he possesses. And the only way we're going to see that is through the revelation and the understanding, the knowledge of Scripture. He has no pleasure in any kind of wickedness. And that is what a man purposely abandon and go astray from the righteous laws of Almighty Yahweh. He said, neither shall evil dwell with him. Nothing evil has any dwelling with the Father. There's nothing evil about what he says. What he does, nothing. He can't do no evil. Although he created good and evil. Because Satan is evil. His whole practice, or what he practices, is an evil seduction. to draw us away from every word. There are things that the Father hates. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Yahweh, we know that thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Now, I know what Christendom will say. It will say that Yahweh hates the deeds. That is not what Scripture says. It says that He hates all workers of iniquity. And iniquity is a spirit that is so lawless that the strength of it is wickedness or the corruption of a man's heart, that the laws and the instructions of Yahweh never compels. It cannot even force that one to obey what Yahweh says. And the reason that that takes place, because there is a spirit in the man or the person that draws them unto a way that is so lawless, without any control or any government or any authority to govern or to instruct, that he has become unto himself a God, a Lord, and a mighty one, that he says, who can challenge me? And so Yahweh says, when a man begins to work a work that is not based upon the principles of my truth, that one is a worker of iniquity. And anything that goes against the law and the grain of Yahweh's truth, he despises that. He hates all workers of iniquity. When one literally do the work of an iniquitous person, when their hearts say, I will not adhere to what every word says, only that which I choose to do. Who is the one that is able to bind the winds in his hands? And the waters fill his garment. He can take every ocean, every sea, every pond, every river, every lake, and he can bind them in his garment. I cannot take a cup of water out of this pond and bind it. Do you understand that he keeps all the waters intact? He keeps all the water intact. And there is not one molecule of water that is lost. If there is one of that ability, what is his name? Tell me who he is, that I may inquire of him. He has a son. What is the purpose of that son? And what reason should I know him or desire to know him? Why should I want to know him? Why should I desire to know his son? What is his name? He said, I hate all workers of iniquity. All workers. And Scripture must define that for us. It must show us the power of that spirit and how it overtakes a man's heart. Well, that is Torah law, Pastor Roberts. We will see what New Covenant says about that as well. We'll base things upon a line here and a line there, a precept here and a precept there. We will see, does it run with a continuous course, that every word of Yahweh is pure, and that we that trust him, he is our protector, or that it has partial truth, or is it a lie? And if there is any kind of deception there, then he is a lawless creator, and he does nothing lawless. So he hates all workers of iniquity. He says, I want to tell you something. I want to speak to you. He said, thou shall, I will, destroy them that speak leasing, corrupt things, lying, trivial things. He said, I will destroy them, not the leasing, but I will destroy them that speak leasing. Yahweh abhor the bloody and that they seek for man. Now that word abhor means he hates. He literally despises the sinful and wicked man. And he destroys all sinners. That's what scripture says. Yahweh gave a command to one. He said, destroy every sinner. He destroys, or he hates, and he destroys every sinful man and every deceitful man. Well, what is a deceitful man? One is deceitful because the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. A true son of Yahweh is led by the Spirit. He's led by the law of the word of truth. That's what he's led by. And scripture instructs him in everything that he does. It instructs you in the way you eat, how you dress, when you sleep, how you do business. Scripture instructs us in everything. That's what a father does. He lays down laws and righteous laws. And they're not based upon heritage or ancestry values. They're based upon the pure principles of Almighty Yahweh. That's what they're based upon. Because there's only one righteous law. And that's the law of Yahweh. There was only one righteous law to be manifested in the earth. And that was the manifestation of the law in Messiah. No other one. No other redeemer. No other redemption in any other way. But in the mighty power of that righteous law that Yahweh manifested unto us. So Yahweh, he hates every man that his purpose and his desire is to sin and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for that short season. And the man that is deceitful, and he does things with a deceptive manner. He does things in a deceptive manner or a deceptive way. He hates them. That's what scripture says. Well, how do we begin to move into that area? How does one's heart become very iniquitous? And that law abides in one, whereby Yahweh says, I hate the workers that work after that spirit. It is a very corrupt spirit. It is a very vile thing because it is the very seed of darkness. It lies. It cheats. It does everything. There's no faithfulness there. There is no commitment there at all. When you become lawless, then you will kill or murder or destroy anyone. It makes no difference at all. And that is the spirit of the world today. That is the mindset of the powers of darkness because Satan is very lawless. There's no righteous law that works in him. And either we today or any person is inhabited by the spirit of Yahweh and truth, or he is inhabited by a lawless, iniquitous spirit. And that spirit is the life and the power of how that person operates. Whatever they do, it is brought alive by the anointing or the power of that spirit. Now Yahweh hates all workers of iniquity. And he will destroy the bloody and the deceitful man. What is to destroy? It is to remove without any remembrance at all. To have no thought of it at all. That is what to destroy is. You dismantle it. You disregard it. And it has no kind of testimony or anything that is left for you to remember that. Scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15 verse 8. Yahweh chose a man to make king over Israel. He said, you were small, you were a little man. You had no significance. Yet because I anointed you, I gave you authority and power to be king. I want to know the one that is able to bind the waters in his garment and the winds in his fist. I want to know his name. And I want to know his son's name. And I want to know anything that isn't based upon the pagan theology of man. And everything today and what we identify as Christendom is based upon a pagan theology. And that is the truth. Shaul said, we are not like many that corrupt the word of Yahweh. were not like many, and the many are corrupting the word of Yahweh. They have made it so corrupt that their hearts today are so enamored or hardened with that corruption that truth can never penetrate. It doesn't bring any conviction or the sword of the spirit, the two-edged sword with cuts. It separates the soul, the bone from the marrow. And yet it cannot even separate a man today from his own sin, his own lust, and his own corruption. It can't do that. Because the hearts have become so enamored and hardened that the righteous laws of Yahweh cannot penetrate to the inward parts of the saving of the soul. It has no power today because of their traditional rituals have no power today at all. And the law has no power of the truth of even Messiah has no power at all. It has become another form of a God worship or idolatry. That's all it has become. And it is peppered with pagan idioms. And that is the truth. He said to Shaul, you had nothing at all. Now everything was done unto you. It was done by me. Were you able to breathe breath into your body this morning? You're not even able to raise your hands if it wasn't but by the power of Almighty Yahweh. You're not able to speak today unless he gave you the vocal power to speak. Ought not? Should we not want to know that one? Should not he be important to us? Should not he be the most important thing to us all? He means what he says when he tells us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and all of our strength. I said to one other day, I can't express the meaning of love. I've looked it up in all kinds of dictionaries and concordance. But there is no word in the English vernacular, and if you find one that is superb, please let me see it, to express the power of his love. I know one thing, that herein is love. Not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. I don't know that expression. And my only way to show some reverence of that love is to obey what he commands me to do. That's the only way. Because I'm lost for words. Maybe you can do a better job than me. I don't. And I can't. And if you have that ability, please, you can come and express that to us here. And my only way of showing my sincere appreciative for his love is just to obey him. And to do what he commands me as I come to that knowledge. Scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 18. Yahweh said to Samuel, to Shaul, he said, Yahweh sent thee on a journey. He sent you to do his commands. I want to be sent and led. Messiah in the wilderness experience. The scripture says in one place he was led. Luke, and it says in what place he was driven. But he was led by Yahweh because he had a mission or a journey to take. And that it was to give us charge over every iniquitous power of hell. Because every iniquitous power of hell is based in the sensual and the earthen things of this earth. He said, I gave you a charge, go and utterly destroy what? What does it say? What does it say? It says sinners. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? So if we believe that every word of Yahweh is pure, can I say to us all saints, we don't have time to study scripture. And it is a shame. It is an atrocity. When this living hope has no burning pain in our hearts, then we want to know the intricate things of it. He said, I told you to go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. They were sinners. They were men of iniquitous ways. He said, destroy the sinners. And he identified who the sinners were. All have sinned. A sinner is one that practices a lawless lifestyle because his heart is governed by the deception and the bloodiness of his heart because he loves to sin. And his own deception guides and leads him, whereby the laws of Yahweh are not applicable. They have no power at all in his life. He said, the Melchites, they are sinners. He says, and fight against them until they be consumed, until there is nothing left. What a simple charge and a command. He gives us commands and charges like that as well, but we just don't obey him. He says, wherefore then thou didst not obey the voice of Yahweh? But you did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of Yahweh. When we don't obey him, don't you know that there is a practice of evilness in our hearts? We don't keep the charge of Yahweh, the commandments of Messiah. Don't you know that there is an evilness there? And it is allured by evilness and it is drawn to evilness and it will practice evilness. But Yahweh sees everything. Nothing is hidden from the Father. He knows every intention of your heart, every thought, every desire. See, our faithfulness unto him is to confess it, that he may cleanse and purge us of those things that bring damnation to our souls. Shaul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh, and have gone the way which Yahweh sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Melchites. That's not what Yahweh says. We will say, I love the Father. I love the Lord. I love God. How can we love him? How can we love Messiah? And I do believe men love their gods and their lords, because their lords and their gods are their bellies and their own iniquitous ways. And Shaul said that I've done everything that he said. I've obeyed him, but I did keep the king. That is not what Yahweh said. He said, you destroy the sinners. You fight until you consume them all. And that is what we must do against the wicked seed that we allow to impregnate our hearts. We must fight against it with the law of the Spirit. And Messiah, which is the law of the Spirit of life, he has made us free from the law of sin and death. When we follow the intuition of our flesh, or the laws of our flesh, when we follow the laws of Yahweh, has given us the power to do that and the strength to do it. He said, I've done what you said. But the people took the spoil. Sheep and oxen and the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed. He knew that it should have been utterly destroyed. He said, but the people took that. Well, why did they do that? Because the heart of Shaul was corrupt. Because he did not do what Yahweh said. Because when they came back from the spoil, as they entered into the city, you must abandon and dissolve everything. So he was not in the position that he ought to have been in. And there are times that we're not in our position. And a prayer for position, position to fast, position to deny, position to love, position to forsake, position to kill and to destroy. We're not in those positions. And so we're not in the proper position that we ought to be in, that we allow every kind of deception and lie to enter into our hearts. Once you began to allow those to enter in, then the powers of darkness began to set up workshop. And then they began to draw you away from Yahweh, that you began to do the same things that Shaul did. You began to seek after those spirits because the Spirit is in you. And Samuel said, have Yahweh a great delight in the burnt offerings and the sacrifices as in obeying his voice. Behold, Shaul, if you obey Yahweh, it is better than any offering that you could bring him. And to listen to what he says, it is greater than the fat of the rams, because all the fat belonged to Yahweh. He said to hear what he says is greater than any amount of fat of the ram you can bring him. That is a great thing in this hour, is to hear the Father. That is one thing that the spiritual assembly must have in this hour. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit, and Yahweh is a Spirit, saith unto the assembly to call out the faithful and the elect of Almighty Yahweh. He says, I want to tell you something, Shaul. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And he says, stubbornness is the same as iniquity and idolatry. That is the seed that fills the heart of the people. They become stubborn. Have you been affected by a little stubble or a little prick? I had a little twig at the back of my shirt yesterday. It was a small thing. And I said to my wife, I said, there is something on my back. It was very irritable. I couldn't get to it. I couldn't get my arms back then. I certainly could not get them down my shirt to get that. And I said to her, look, it's here. I can feel it right here. And so she ran her hand down my shirt. And she pulled out this little thing, very small. Wasn't much, but it was enough. It was a stub. It was born inside of that shirt. And she looked at that and said, this little thing doesn't hurt. I know it's not the hurt, but it is the irritation and the agony that caused more trouble than the hurt of that little thing if it had been a thorn in my side. And that is what a stub is. It's a small little thing that we allow to enter into our heart and our spirit, and it becomes born. It takes to the air. It takes to the spirit. And it begins to distribute all kinds of things in our hearts. And that is what that spirit, that iniquitous, unbridled, sinful activity, it comes by our stubbornness. Yahweh commands you to do a thing, and you say, well, I know he said that, but, that's wrong. We are all guilty of that. I know that's what Scripture says, but he says every word is pure, not some. Every word is pure. He is not like a man that he should lie or speak in a way that appease our flesh. He's not going to do that. See, when we obey him, it shows our love to him first. We must love him first. It's based upon that. Based upon that first. You loving him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and all of your strength. And from that, he will impart a true dynamic of love in our hearts. Because we haven't loved him first, then our love is with dissimulation. It is partial. It is with hypocrisy. And that is not the spirit of Yahweh. You can't tell me. You can't make me believe that. Now, you can't believe it. I will not receive it. I will not believe it because I understand some concepts of Scripture. Do I spend the time that I should? No, because there's always time to spend in Scripture. I simply believe that. To me, this is the great road map of life where I find the riches of life and the nuggets to sustain me on this journey. I don't find them in the monetary things. I don't find them in carnal things. I find it here in this book. I find the shalom of Yahweh here in this book. I find the comfort, the assurance here. When there are things that I don't understand, it gives me comfort. Because I know that he is able to reveal those things unto me. And I do read things in this book that I don't understand the thoroughness or the fullness of it. But I know he wrote it and he said it. Because it was given by his inspiration. And it is the purpose there to correct me, to instruct me, that I, as a man of Yahweh, may be thoroughly furnished unto all the good works that he has called you, me, and everyone to do. And the works that he has called us to do. And it begins in obeying him. That's first obeying him. Obeying the Father. Takes delight in obeying. And when we allow that stubborn You parents, have you watched that with children? When one becomes very stubborn, they become very adamant. That person is very presumptuous when they become that way. Very, very presumptuous. They become almost arrogant and prideful. I know you said that, but this is my desire. When a man truly delights in the laws and the truths of Yahweh, he puts a burning pure desire in his heart. And you will allow nothing to circumvent you or separate you from that pure love of Yahweh. It's either that this is the truth or we're living in a false reality. It is just a surreal thing. And I don't believe it is surreal. I don't believe that this is a form of some fantasy. I believe that this is the only reality of life. As I constantly think on death, and I know that there is, if I may use that expression, there's an evolving. From childbirth to a certain age to a greater age, and then to the pinnacle of death, with no exception. And I know that in order for man to understand the assurance of the hope of the resurrection, that he must know what Yahweh has spoken and said, and he must know with a certainty in his heart that everything that he has done in that body of Messiah was for that hope to be solidified in our hearts, that there is a resurrection and there's a getting up. And so what else in life is important but to obtain that great resurrection? There's nothing else. Not the millions of dollars, not the luxurious homes and the yachts and the finest eateries or dining facilities. Not any of that surpasses the very magnificent beauty that we shall inhabit in the presence of Almighty Yahweh. Nothing. And that's what iniquity does. It causes us to grasp for those things. That there is no law that will control us or bring us under the authority of it that we will not do to get those things. Men will do anything to get certain things. They will lie, they will cheat. He said, and stubbornness or stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. How does that spirit enter into your heart? He tells us here, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh. Because you reject the word of Yahweh. That's stubbornness. When you reject what Yahweh says, it is a sign of a stubborn spirit. You don't rationalize or reason with what he says. Can you truly reason with Yahweh? Come. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Can we actually come and truly reason with him? Come. Let us reason together. Can you truly reason with him? Now, our only ability to reason with him is what he says in his word, because he will not go outside the parameter of the living word. And Messiah showed us that the word is alive and it has the power and the backing of the Father. He came to make great understanding of the knowledge of his name and to give us the significance of the Father's name. So without the word of Yahweh, without the knowledge of that, you can't reason with that. How do I know? Well, I must go to Scripture and find out if that is so. When Job, when Yahweh said, now come, Job, I want you to answer me. Where were you when the sons of Yahweh, tell me where you were, when they shouted for joy, when they saw the splendid of the earth and the magnificent mighty thing that I had made, where were you? Tell me. Now let's base things upon that, on the righteous law. So that's how Job had to reason with him, or to talk with the Father. So was it with Moshe. He had to talk from Scripture. And that's the only way you're going to talk to him from Scripture, because this is the law that keeps him or binds him to us. If you go any other way, you will miss him. He said, because you have rejected the word. And once we began to reject correction, chastisement, instruction, then we reject him. For reproof of instruction, it is a reproof and instruction. That is the way of a saintly life. And what we began to reject, that then he began to reject us. Was Shaul not the anointed of Yahweh? Did he not elect him? Was he not the call? You cannot reject him. You cannot reject his laws. You cannot reject the statutes, the commandments, and the principles of Yahweh. You can't. And yet we do those things. Yet we do those things. If it wasn't for his mercies, long suffering. That's why we ought to count the long suffering of Yahweh as salvation. We better begin to rejoice and thank him. There were hundreds of thousands cut off last night of the course of 24 hours that had no ability to repent or to acknowledge their sins. Did not even know the Father, and they were estranged from him. Yahweh hates all workers of iniquity. I don't care who it is. Your son, your daughter, your mother, your grandfather. He hates all workers. Well, Pastor Roberts, that's kind of absurd. That's not what we have been taught in Christendom. I know what we've been taught. Now, there must be a witness to the scripture or revelation. It has to be. We will see what scripture says. Luke chapter 13. Lucas 13. Luke chapter 13. We will see what scripture says. The scripture says that verse 22 of that chapter. It says that Messiah, he went through the cities, and he went through the villages. He went teaching and journeying, or his purpose was to go towards Jerusalem. That was his purpose, because he was being led by Yahweh. As Shaul was on a journey because of Yahweh, he used almost the same expression here. That Messiah was on a journey because he was being led by the Father toward Jerusalem. Then there came one of the ruler, lawyer undoubtedly, an educated one. Then one said to him, Rabbi, ruler, in a mocking way. He said, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, listen to this carefully. Please hear this. Hear what he says in verse 24. He says, strive. Do you understand what striving is? Have you ever been in a position to strive for something? You ever been in school and you wanted to strive for an A or better grade? I recall that as a young lad. So there were other things that I had to lay aside because I had to strive. Strive is to exert every measure of strength. Every measure of knowledge, everything, that when you are finished, there's nothing left. You exhaust everything. Are we truly exhausting anything today? Ask yourself that. To be totally honest with yourself, just ask yourself. He says strive. He did not say half happily or just casually, but he warned him. He says strive to enter in at the straight gate. There's a way that's straight, it's narrow. So he said you must strive to enter in there. And he says, for many. What a profound statement. For many, I say to you, for many. Now this is what Messiah is saying. You tell me they will seek. They will seek. Well, why will they seek? It's more, I said to us, a man tend to seek things to satisfy his flesh. We must have a love to strive to enter at the straight place. There must be a love-hate relationship. When you seek a friendship with someone, you will kind of oversee or not even allow your mind to be cognate or aware of certain things in a person's life that you disagree with. Because you're simply seeking the friendship. But a love friendship is based upon truth. And it will tell one another the things that are displeasing. It will. So he said, now you must strive to enter in at a place that many shall seek. Now they don't love the place. They don't love the rigor of striving.
They don't love the hardship that striving causes. They don't love the denial of the flesh that striving. When you strive to do something, it costs you something. If someone strive, I use this expression, if they strive to be mastery of anything, it takes a diligent effort. It takes an awareness, a constant awareness. It does. You must constantly prepare yourself because there's always someone striving to get ahead. And that's what striving is. It is to exert the utmost energies and the utmost desire. It has to be a pure purpose there. So he said, you must strive. Don't worry about preserving any energy today because tomorrow is not promised to you. So exert every measure, fiber of energy in your being. You strive. And at the end of the day, you just put it all in my hands. Just lay down and rest in me. He said, now many shall seek, many will inquire, many will want to enter in. And he said, and they shall not be able. They're not going to be able. Many are seeking, but they're not going to be able to enter in. This is scripture. Because he's going to destroy all sinners. I don't care who it is. He's going to destroy them. Why is it that they were seeking and yet they were not able?